thank you so much for downloading our little podcast from Italy. My name is Jason. Good morning, Ashley.
Ciao tutti.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Today is a beautiful morning, the 15th of December, 10 days before Christmas, partly cloudy, 3 degrees.
Oh, I'd say super foggy.
It is foggy. Oh, you would say foggy, not cloudy.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Foggy, 3 degrees, a little wet out. Sun's coming up over Monte Reparto. A beautiful day in Italy.
And a gorgeous night last night with the full moon.
Yeah. Today, together we run, own, and operate La Tavola Marche, a little slice of heaven in Piobico, Italy, farm, inn, and cooking school. And today is the... I already said that, yeah?
Yes, you did, but right, keep on keeping on.
Keep on, just keep rolling with it?
Yep.
Right. Lots to talk about today. It's been a minute since we did a podcast.
About a month,
which is not bad for this time of year.
No, it's not. So we're just trying to stay consistent. Sounds like we're doing pretty good. A lot's gone on since the last time we fired up the mics.
Yeah, fired up the mics. Well, let's check in with what's going on in our little valley. Candeliano Valley, the leaves, of course, are all gone. The hunters are not finding much this year. Truffle season is winding down.
But you said the hunters have been everywhere. Last night we saw two or three different packs of boar in two or three different areas along our road coming home from our neighbors. And that was pretty exciting stuff.
Boars are fast. Mm-hmm. I did not realize how fast pigs are.
Yeah, but there was a pack of like 7 or 10 of them at one point closer to the house. And they just peeled off away from the road. And we tried to shine the lights and they were just gone.
They were gone. So
big.
So Ashley was gone in the States for a while with family stuff going on. So I was here alone. I had our neighbor's dog and big walks into the hills every morning. We would wake up. Sun comes up around a little after 7 now. So we would try to get up or out around 6:30, 6:45 to try to beat all the hunters because Sum is... loves the girl hunter dogs.
He loves the ladies.
He loves the ladies. And he would not listen to me when he started smelling and hearing dogs in the woods. So that was challenging. But we're trying to stay ahead this year by doing all my pruning and trimming and all that stuff that I usually save for late February, March, trying to do it now. So that's what I've been doing this month.
Oh, my gosh.
Cutting
sticks.
You got
a ton of work done.
Got a lot of work done.
Mm-hmm. It looks really good. Very ahead of the game.
Not very interesting to talk about. But
no, but soon sausages will be up next.
Yeah, we're going to start.
That'll be the next big project.
Next big project, probably after the holidays, we'll start doing sausages.
What's the estimated weigh-in this year, do you think?
I'm shooting for 100 kilos of sausage and 100 kilos of salamis.
What? That's awesome. I love it.
It's going to be a busy year.
I know.
And we'll dry them all and we'll zip them up and it'll be used as on prosciutto and meat and cheese platters and public relations. It's a great gift.
Oh my gosh. And I just love when sausage making season starts and we can go upstairs and just cut off sausages and throw them on the grill. It smells so good up there and it's my favorite thing. What do you want for dinner? Oh, let's just go cut down a sausage.
Winter set in here and the holiday season, and it's really interesting. Both of us, I went back to New York for a short time and Ashley went to Seattle for a longer period of time. It's really interesting to see the differences in the holidays in the States versus Italy.
Yes. Well, first of all, I was terrified by the size of the cars and the traffic and the texting.
Well, of course. Okay.
So that I felt like I was developing some sort of driving anxiety of like some 60-some-year-old lady. But yeah, the holidays, it was just, you know, you see Santa everywhere. I loved seeing him at like just at the restaurant for breakfast, you know, the little local guy collecting the you know, ringing the bell outside, but he's having breakfast inside the restaurant and the little kids walk by and just, aw, Santa. And I don't feel like you see that here.
No.
There's not the Babbo Natale in the same way that it's Santa Claus is.
No, it seems like, well, I had a big talk, me and Gaji, I was eating dinner with Gaji most nights. So
we
would talk about this. And here, Christmas is a religious holiday. Like, mm-hmm. It's more about the birth of Jesus mm-hmm. than it is about Babbo Natale or gifts or the pomp and circumstance and the glitz and glamour. Whereas I went back to New York and that's all it is. It is lights everywhere and gifts. And so we got to talking about gifts for Christmas. And of course you give gifts for Christmas, but it's much simpler and it's much more practical, the gifts normally for Christmas, than they are in the States. And it's usually one or two,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the gifts, you know, piled high around the tree.
No, but I'll tell you what, I loved going to the Christmas tree farm and getting a freaking 9-foot tree with my friend Teresa and her family, and bringing it in, getting it all decorated with all the lights and how many strands. And she was doing the math, and it was like, I need at least 10 to 12 strands and, you know, fill that freaking tree up. I love that.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
and
we're
the
American.
The smell of it when you come in the house, it was like, oh, yes.
So I don't know if that's just because where we live or if that is Italy in general, but it just seems like not every family has a nativity scene in their house. Not every family has a Christmas tree.
True. I love the tree.
I do too. But I think if you grew up in Italy, you would associate the nativity scene with Christmas more than the tree.
I agree. But so it was nice because I've been missing that, and to be back in the States for that, a little taste of it was nice. I mean, I guess it's all commercial and all of that, but I was missing it.
Yeah, definitely. What are other things that you noticed right off the bat? Because we don't go back to the States that often.
Well, like I said, the traffic. Seattle was horrible for traffic. The coffee, couldn't get a decent cup of coffee anywhere. Dirty water.
Dirty water?
It was no good.
What I noticed the most, especially in New York, was the water.
Yeah.
When I went to take a shower, it smelled like a swimming pool.
Seattle, I was lucky. I could drink the water everywhere. But yeah, then when we were in a hotel even, it was just horrific. But the swimming pool water, chlorine water is the worst.
It's terrible, and I don't realize how we have such great water here that you know, you don't realize it's not treated, it's not nothing. When you mm-hmm. go somewhere, it's like, oh, you smell it, the treatment of it. It's weird.
No, I'm it just makes you appreciate. I like how much food was processed everywhere, and I don't know. I thought my family, well, it's hard, but it just made me miss home. I can't eat outside of our little valley, I think. You know, I complain at times that we don't have a lot of choices, but as soon as you have all of these choices, all I want is our simple food out here that's just real and good.
Yeah. Coming up this December 20th, we were debating about this before the mics heated up. This is going to be our 10th. This will be our 10-year anniversary in Italy. I think we arrived a little bit later.
I think it was the 20th. We're not sure if it was the 20th or the 22nd. We'll have to check into that.
All right. Quick. Tell the story.
Okay. So we arrive into Milan, and my sister is coming to help us for the first 6 months also. And we have a car that we got via auto drive away or what?
The Peugeot.
The Peugeot.
Auto buyback or yeah. auto whatever.
And so we were making our way from Milan to Le Marche, and I remember the whole car ride in this brand new car. It was like, oh my gosh, the partner, we called it. And that we were having all these great ideas of things Jason would make for Christmas and Christmas Eve and all the fishes and all the food. And oh my God, this 5-hour drive was nothing but Christmas music and talks of our first Christmas here in Italy and our new home and all of that. And we finally get down here to the exit in Aquilania, and we go to, and it's like, okay, we remember getting off here, and we'd only been to the house one time. And so it's like, ooh, it's a little farther down this road than I remember. And as we're getting farther and farther into off the expressway, off of Aquilania, getting closer into Piobico, a little snow on the ground. Wasn't quite expecting that. And I remember, it's like, well, that's cool. That's weird. We got some snow. Getting closer and closer.
No, hold on. Let me interject. I think you said something to me like California winter.
No, huh? That was I totally did. I said, I thought you were in charge of researching the weather. And he said, yeah, California winters, California winters. And I was like, what the hell part of California? Are we talking Tahoe? And so as we're getting closer, it's like, oh my gosh, there's really snow on the ground. And we get up to the house and barely make it up the driveway. And Fusciani, our landlord's brother, was there, Alessandro, and his wife and two kids. And they were not expecting us to actually show up that night.
Which I don't understand, because we have been talking with them and this whole thing was planned for 6 months, and I don't know. We weren't
expecting the Americans to show back up.
They didn't really think we were coming or something. It's like, how, we sent you all this money? What do you mean we're not coming?
Contracts, everything.
Yeah, so, all this stuff signed. What are you talking about?
We go into the kitchen and they let us in, and it's like, oh my gosh. First of all, we really realized we are farther down that road than we realized at all. And it was dark and long and tons of snow compared to anything we would have expected.
6 inches.
Yeah, but hello. And Jason and Alessandro are talking, and Jason knows a little bit of Italian, barely any at this point. We kind of joke, tree, three, something about Wednesday, and we kind of have to reconvene. We were very basic. Everybody knew some Spanish, and he's trying to have this conversation, and I keep hearing him say, tubi gelati, tubi gelati. And I look at Megan, and I'm trying to translate, thinking to my sister, oh, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. You know, you've dropped your stuff to come out here, and I'll show you I know some Italian. And I said, they're talking about something about some ice cream. And Jason looks at me and goes, no, you idiot, tubi gelati. The pipes are frozen. And it was like, oh, my God. Do you remember that?
Of course I remember it.
And then it was like, oh my God, we can't live. We can't move. We can't stay here.
There's no water.
There's no water. And they had not filled up the bombola, the
gas tank.
The gas tank, because they didn't really think we were showing
with
up.
With natural gas.
Exactly. So we had to go into Piobico. Poppin' Piobico, December 20th. There's so many hotels to choose from, you guys.
at 10 o'clock at night.
So there's one place, Ristorante and Hotel Monte Nerone, and it's on the main little street in town. And thank God that guy was there. And Lincoln, or Abraham, what was his name?
Abramo.
Abramo was there. And we stayed in a shared a room for a night, the three of us, and thought, oh my God, what have we gotten ourselves into? We came all the way out here.
Now, I remember as we were leaving, Alessandro told us, well, we just have to wait for the wind to change.
Yes.
And then that'll make all everything.
And
we drive away going, what the hell is this moron talking about?
Talking about the
change
wind.
Change the wind? What are you...
And we're thinking, just turn on the freaking heat. Like,
no, it's like, oh yeah, the wind has to change. It has to swing around and come out of the south and bring the warm air from Africa. And then all the tubes will, well, we don't have that problem anymore. But here it is 10 years later. And he's like, oh yeah, he was totally right.
And then it didn't end there. So then we had to go and think.
Because the wind didn't change.
The wind did not change. We could not afford to stay at Hotel Monte Nerone in Poppin' Piobico.
It was too luxurious.
Too highfalutin for our blood at that time. And so thankfully Fabio, our commercialista, has a country house, and he let us stay there for almost a week.
No, well, Christmas Day was our first day in Cacamonga.
So about three or four nights we stayed there. And our first night exactly was at Cacamonga, and we almost starved to death. We had no food. There was nothing, because we didn't realize things closed like days in advance. And I'm sure it was like a Sunday situation and a weekend and the holidays thrown in.
We were very American and very green.
Oh my gosh. We thought, oh yeah, we could do last minute shopping on Christmas Eve. Wrong. And I think we shared like a piece of pizza and these things called snack friends. And we said, snack friends, you're wild in France. That's where how we spent Christmas, almost starving in a big, huge, cold house with frozen pipes on Christmas.
And wet wood.
Mm-hmm.
But we loved every minute of it. And it was awesome. So that was 10 years ago, this coming up week.
Maybe we'll keep telling 10-year stories throughout this year's podcast.
Mm.
Wouldn't that be a fun? Write in. Let us know what
That's
you'd like to hear.
That's a little obnoxious. Christmas is coming up, and Christmas gifts are being sent around. I'm sure you have your shopping list. Either you've either started it or you haven't even begun to think about it yet. Either way, keeping with my goal of staying on top of things, staying organized, and staying ahead of the game, ours is done. And my
yes.
favorite gift that I sent this year was a half a wheel of Parmesan.
That is so freaking cool. I love it. And our friends are going to go crazy for it. So tell them how are you able to procure this?
So we have friends in France, and they are, interestingly enough, in France, you can get delicious cheese. Well, because I got made fun of the other day. I say, how do you say it?
France.
France. That's how I say it, too. France. And I got made fun of the other day and said, it's not France, it's France.
Oh.
So I'll just say France.
Okay.
Even if I sound like an idiot.
I'll still make fun of you.
That's fine.
Either
That's
way.
Your job. They live in France, and... interestingly enough, you can get delicious, beautiful cheeses, and I'm sure Parmigiano Reggiano, 3-year-old aged, is available, but it's harder to find and it's very expensive. Whereas we know a gay, we have old Fusciani who deals in all things meats, cheeses, oils, wines, and all that, and it's very easy for us to get it. And compared to what, as soon as it leaves the country, any of this stuff triples in price. So mm-hmm. what you would pay, God knows how much, a kilo, a pound for, I'm paying what the real Italians should pay, which is something that's...
Give them an estimate. You don't have to, like, what you're talking
3-year about. 3-year-aged Parmigiano Reggiano is like 13, 14 euro a kilo. My price. That's mm-hmm. cheap.
My price.
Good price. That's super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm buying it from the guy.
That's for 3-year age.
That's for 3-year. And I'm buying it from the guy who buys it from the actual maker.
Mm-hmm.
And if I went to the actual maker, it'd be even, you know, the actual producer would be even cheaper. But anytime we go and see them, we always bring them Parm. And they love it and they go through it. So I thought, what do you get people who have every, like, they have what they need, you know. Mm-hmm. What else can you get them? But what they can't get is a half a wheel of Parmesan.
Yep, it's awesome, and it's hysterical because they live deep in the countryside like us. So of course, shipping can never be easy.
No, it was a disaster, but it was fun. I got to, you know, he cut it open for he, you know, wedged it open for me, and it weighed 21 kilos, and it was just. Beautiful, and we wrapped it up in this really heavy butcher paper and put it in this giant box. Now, I didn't cut it horizontally, I cut it vertically. And I know a lot of people will be like, well, you can haul it out and put pasta in it. No, that's not how you open it. You don't open a Parmesan horizontally, you open it vertically. Uh-huh. That's the real way. And it's an aged cheese, so you could either, if you're going to eat it within, you know, a few months, you can just keep going. Or
just eat on it.
But what I suggested he does is cut it into wedges and then vacuum seal it,
mm-hmm.
throw it in the cantina, cool, dark place, and you should be good. I mean, it's HG.
You're set. That is awesome.
So 20 kilos, that should get them done. It was great buying it, and I hope they enjoy it.
Oh my gosh. Who wouldn't put in a friggin' 20 kilos of cheese under the Christmas tree?
Yeah. Well, so, I hope it's not under the Christmas tree.
I know. So speaking of Christmas gifts, well, I was out of town. Jason helped out on the blog and did one of his very first posts. And dun da da da, he was good. I knew he would be. And I think this was great because he did 10 gifts for the chef or for the cook. And these are totally tried and true things that we use at the cooking school and in our kitchen all the time. And nothing fancy schmancy, no bells and whistles. Just real freaking tools.
Yeah, I'm not a gadget guy. They don't work. They don't. It's just a waste of money. It's fun to use once, but they're not practical because they're hard to clean or they only do one task and no one has room for them. So this is a gift for the cook that all these things they will actually use, guaranteed. They will never end up in a garage sale or a box in the attic. Number one, you ready?
Yeah. So this is up on the blog, but I thought it'd be fun to go through anyway. All right.
Okay. Number one is a dough scraper or bench knife. A dough scraper or bench knife is a piece of stainless steel with a handle, a dull stainless steel. And what it's traditionally used for is, to scrape up dough, balls of dough for pizza or for, working with bread or whatever. But what I use it for is a, way to clean the board and to bring all whatever I'm chopping together instead of using my knife blade, which dulls the knives. And it's a staple on every station in our cooking classes. Waste bowl, knife, and dough scraper.
And was this something from culinary school?
This is something from culinary school. I had a chef called his little short frat guy named DDA, Chef DDA. And he was, that was his thing.
French.
He's French. Well, DDA. that's not a German name.
No, yeah.
and his pet peeve was he hated the sound of blades on scraped on the cutting board because it dulls the blade and your knife is a tool that you respect. Kind of like Japanese a little bit in that regard. And it's true. And not only that, the number one thing that everyone does is takes their finger to wipe off the blade of the knife to get those onions that are stuck on the blade, and you'll eventually cut yourself. So use the knife.
That's sharp.
That's sharp. Oh, my God. I had one. I'll never forget this girl.
Just a long story short, she did it twice.
I tell everyone at the beginning, my knives are sharp. Please handle with care. You know, just go slow. It's not a race. She flips the knife blade over. I watch her do it. She runs her finger against the blade of the knife. It cuts her, and she goes, "Ah, that's sharp."
And did it again later.
Yeah, that was awesome. Anyway. All right,
continuing on the list. So the dough scraper.
Under $5, you can go to your Williams Sonova, Sur La Table, Fancy Schmancy kitchen store and get it. Or you can go to your home supply store and spend $5 on it. It's the same
thing. As a paint.
Yeah, you'll find it in the paint sections. Uh-huh. It's for cutting in paint. Number two, this is something that I travel with. And this is the Bialetti Mocha and Milk frotha.
Oh man, you can't go anywhere without it. This is the telltale sign of every home, and Italy has a mocha on the back of their stove or in their cupboard somewhere.
A well-worn.
That's
mocha.
What I was just gonna say.
I will put this little 20-euro machine up against your 500-euro dollar espresso doohickey anytime. Also, I don't have to turn mine on to wait for it to heat up. And let's be honest, unless you're spending a good chunk of change on an espresso machine, they don't work. They don't work very well at home. They're inconvenient and you never use them. This you will use every day. It's the same design since like 1900.
And you can get all the pieces if you need to replace them.
All the pieces are replaced, and it is the best cup of coffee. The Bialetti Mocha, they make them in several sizes.
And the frother.
Yeah, the frother you can pick up basically anywhere.
But it freaking works.
It works. For under $30 euros, I will put those things up against your machine.
Exactly.
Now, what it doesn't do, I will concede, it does not make the crema, the foamy white on the top of the coffee. However, it is the closest you'll get for the at home.
Oh, and good every damn time.
Every damn time. I swear to God, I throw it in my bag.
Moving along, number three.
Number three, this is something very utilitarian, very practical. It is a cutting board with a lip. Now, on what do I mean by that? Well, just a cutting board with a lip is so you put it up against the counter, and it prevents the cutting board from sliding. When you're working with pastry or dough or even just chopping stuff, sometimes the cutting boards can slide. One way to prevent this is by taking a wet towel, putting it underneath, but sometimes that cutting board just slides. you can find these at IKEA. A cutting board with a lip is a great gift for someone who loves pastry or anyone who cooks a lot, and it doesn't have to be expensive. It is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Salad spinner.
Oh, my
gosh.
Spinner. This is so funny because Jason loves to make fun of my family about these, that we just didn't grow up with them. I swear to God, we would just like rinse the lettuce and then put them on paper towels and let them dry. He's like,
What I've also come to realize by visiting the States is it is hard to find heads of lettuce anymore.
True.
When I say a head of lettuce, I don't mean iceberg lettuce. I just mean a real, like, lettuce in its original form.
Yeah, that's not, or even if it's like a nicer, like, mixed greens lettuce, it's still in a package.
It's all in packages. So this is a tool that is kind of on the way out, but when you use real, how do you dry your, how do you wash your lettuce? A lot of people will use paper towel, use kitchen rags, or mm-hmm. just simply shake it. Your lettuce, your salads are disgusting and watery. Stop it. Not only can you use the salad spinner for lettuces, but fresh herbs. I use it for radicchios. I use it for a ton of different stuff. It's $20. It's a great thing to have, and start using real lettuce. Salad spinner. Moving on, a water stone. Anyone who, instead of buying someone a fancy schmancy knife and spending a bunch of money, why don't you buy them a water stone? The thing about a knife is it is a tool. A blade needs to be maintained constantly. And you can spend a bunch of money on a knife, but unless you maintain it and keep the knife sharp, it's not being used efficiently. So a nice water stone and a book on how to sharpen knives is a great gift for someone who loves to cook. This is a skill that is really important in the kitchen because a sharp knife is a better tool that you, A, won't cut yourself with as nearly as much, and just goes through everything with such everything you're doing with such little effort. I'm not an expert on this. There are people who are super, super into sharpening knives, and my knives do not. I don't require knives to be sharp enough to shave my arm with, like a hunter does, for example. But they have to be able to slice a tomato, a ripe tomato, with no pressure whatsoever. So, a water stone. Do a little research. Google is your friend on this, and a nice water stone, maybe a 2 or 3 grit water stone, and a book on how to sharpen knives.
I think that's a great one.
Instead of spending a couple hundred bucks on a knife.
Especially for someone, exactly. So many people have already gotten the knives, but they just don't know how to maintain them, like you said, too.
Yeah, every person's house I go to, they do have fairly nice knives, and they're all dull.
Exactly.
All right, moving on. Pasta or a stock pot? When cooking pasta for more than a few people, the regular large household pot is not big enough. It doesn't hold enough water to dilute the starch being released by the pasta. And the results are really predictable. It's going to be gummy, sticky, nasty, gross, and just not good pasta.
What do you always say in your cooking class?
What?
You can never
boil pasta in too much water. I could take a swimming pool and boil a kilo. It's fine. What you can do is not have enough. And another reason why you need a big pot is volume. We at home do not have professional ranges. We don't have professional burners putting out huge amounts of energy. So when you add a large amount of pasta to a small amount of boiling water, you kill the heat and you don't have enough energy to bring it back up. In the restaurant, that's not a problem because we have larger amounts of fire coming out to bring the water back up. So how we have to combat this is with volume. So if we have a large amount of boiling water to a smaller amount of pasta, the water will not drop in temperature as much, and we can bring it back to the boil. So a large stock pot, and it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be thick. It doesn't have to be what was my third one?
Like stainless steel?
Doesn't have to be stainless steel. What it does have to be is big and high sides. And what this will do is it'll prevent spillovers because now when the pasta starts boiling, the foam doesn't come over the top and go everywhere. You can use it as a basin to wash muddy vegetables and stuff like that. And get a light aluminum one that can you can lift and put on a top shelf easily.
Yeah, that's true for weight. Also, you recommend, especially in bigger cities, to check out restaurant supply stores for these kind of things.
Oh, this is a restaurant supply store purchase every day or online. I mean, it does not have to be expensive or big. You should see the ones you can find in the hardware stores for the giant pots.
Here in Italy?
Yeah, they're like pot metal. I mean, it's really thin and crappy because all you're doing is boiling water for it. Now, if you're going to do veal stock in this pot, maybe you want to go with a bigger, heavier pot. But if you're just doing, if you need a big pot for pasta, thin, light, tall.
Excellent.
Number 7, an earthenware casserole. Now, this is a...
That sounded like an NPR... Number 7.
Number 7. this is a must for the Italian kitchen. Every nonna has one, and they have her favorite one. A casserole is an earthenware vessel. It's used in many Italian dishes. Basically, it's what the cast iron skillet is to North America. It's a one-pot pan that can do a little bit of everything. So this one can go on top. It can go on in the fire, like in the coals. It can go on top of the stove. It can go in the oven and then go on the table. And it's some of them are very plain and very simple and utilitarian, and others become very ornate. So prices vary, but the casseroles to Italy, yeah, it's really nice to have, and it's just something great. It's got the short, stubby, fat handle, and it goes right onto the table, and it just says to me, Italian countryside.
Mm-hmm. put something good and stewy in
there. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, speaking of that, you're going to make artichokes and rabbit.
Yeah, tonight. Last night, since Ashley just got home, I put corned beef in under the solution. And we cooked it last night with our neighbors. And that was delicious.
With your homegrown cabbage. Yeah, that's delicious. It was
good. And tonight we'll do, what'd you say? Artichokes and rabbit. That'll be good.
All right, sorry. I'm just getting hungry, I guess.
All right. Here's a great one. I love
this. This is what Jason wants this year, too.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of these. I need one of these this winter. This is called a chinois or a fine mesh strainer. It's a concave sieve with a wire mesh. It's used to strain custards, purees, soups, sauces. It makes whatever passes through very smooth in texture. Good examples are made out of stainless steel, and they are expensive. The mesh ranges a size from very, very fine that can barely pass water up to big holes for, like, getting pasta or beans or something like that. No more floaters in your stock with this, because it'll make all – when you pass your stock through it, all those little bits that will go through a normal strainer will get strained out of this. If you like doing, like – butternut school, like puree soups, and you want to have your vegetable soups have like just a silky, beautiful finish to them. Pass it through here. Pan sauces, you pass through here, and it gets out all the little bits of stuff you don't want.
You love it.
I have them in several sizes. They're a little spendy, but they are great. It's called a chinois or a fine mesh strainer, concave sieve with a wire mesh. Definitely a good one for those who cook.
Again, all of these items can be found on the blog if you want to go back and look.
Getting to the end here, the Atlas pasta machine. This is the only gadgety thing I have. It's this pasta. We've used these. We were talking about it yesterday. We've beaten the crap out of this machine. These machines for 10 years. They hold up. They work really well. They're very simple. It's all the only parts that seem to break are the two parts that are plastic on them, and you can get around it.
They make it possible for people to make pasta at home on a much easier. You know, it's a much more conducive. You don't need as much space.
Yeah, you don't need a giant cutting board and a giant. Mm-hmm. And the learning curve on these is very shallow. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of
kids totally.
Yeah,
dig
I have 5-year-olds who make banging, awesome, beautiful.
Seriously.
Pasta. So it's not an expensive little machine. You can find them all over the place. The brand I prefer is Atlas, you can use it to roll out any dough, whether it be marzipan or pie crusts or pasta dough. It doesn't matter, but it's great to have. And the last one, number 10, wrapping this bad boy up. This is what I want for Christmas this year. So it's just funny. I've had this conversation a couple of times in the last few weeks about what do you ask for Christmas for the kitchen? And here's what I want this year. It's called the Le Creuset Extra Large Double Burner Griddle. And what it is it's just a giant – it's just a big chunk of steel with about a 2.5-3 centimeter, about 1.5 inches lip on the outside, around the outside, and it's a rectangle. And what this basically does is it goes over 2 burners of your stove and you turns your stove into a small flat top. So you can make everything from omelets and searing meat and then throwing it in the oven and then finishing the sauce back on the pan to doing grilled cheese sandwiches and quesadillas and it's a flat top, it's a flat skillet. It's just huge, and it takes 2 burners, so you can get things that freaking thing really hot. It weighs 10 kilo. Like, it's just a chunk of iron. But that's what I want, and it's too much money, I think, because all Le Creuset stuff is too much money. But that's what I want for Christmas, and I'm not buying it, so it doesn't matter how much it goes.
A few other ideas that were sent in when I posted this on Facebook and whatnot from the blog were from some guests who chimed in, and one in particular, Norma Sandrock, up in Boston, Massachusetts area, she reminded us of some great simple ones of a freaking handful of tea towels.
Yeah, that's a good
but
one.
But you go crazy with like how
I love like kitchen towels.
Kitchen towels.
It's true. You know what? That's freaking true. But
I know. But it sounds cheesy.
Now,
but
if you're going to get, that's a great idea. But you have to get a specific type of towel. You can't get tea towel. Like
no,
you can't
not
get
the
one
cutesy ones.
No. If you got someone a pack of 25, like the ones that have the one blue stripe on them that go in the kitchen.
That are like bar kitchen ones.
Bar kitchen mm-hmm. ones, and they're in the, they're all tied up. That is a beautiful, that's a really nice gift.
So that was a great idea.
That, good job. So, that good was job, Norma. Norma. That
she
is
also
a good one.
Said from your classes that she had to get a scale.
Oh, that's true. A good digital scale is not, you shouldn't spend $20 euros on it. It should be about 100. And it, and if you wanted something to be halfway decent. And yeah, a scale, I use mine every day.
Mm-hmm. Those were two that I just remembered, but that I thought, oh, we will have to add to the list for next year then, or switch it up, because those were great ones.
Well, there you go. A little bit late. You only have 10 days. Hurry up. But there's 10 good ideas for anyone in your life who likes to cook, whether they like to cook Japanese food or Italian. I think that those are things that they will use in the kitchen.
I think so too. Thanks, Jason, for sharing your chef recommended gifts for the home cook.
Very.
It's good to be back.
Good. What else do you got? We could talk about Renzi real quick. So, on the 4th of December, we talked about it in the last podcast, I believe. There was the referendum, and that was voted down. And it really, to sum it all up in two sentences, what it did is the Prime Minister Renzi attached the outcome of the referendum to whether he would stay in power or resign. And it became not about the referendum, but it became about whether you support, it became a confidence vote in him. So what we keep seeing is that whether you thought it was a good idea for the referendum of making Italy government smaller and streamlining everything, you were more likely to vote no because you hated this Renzi guy.
Exactly.
Awesome. So
ta-da.
So we have so we dissolved the government. We have an interim government until March, until they'll do elections again, I believe.
Yes. So that's Italy.
That is Italy.
In a two-sentence nutshell. What else is going on? We talked about it on the blog. Also, a little panettone pandemonium. It's the revving up for all the Christmas we were talking about earlier.
The panforte and panettone and what's the white one?
Oh, shoot. No, I can't think of it. God, she loves these.
The white one, the nougat, the white.
Panforte?
No, panforte is the nuts and the candied stuff in the round. Come on, torrone.
There you go.
Oh,
I do like torrone.
I do like torrone. Torrone here, if you've never tried torrone, it's like
nougat and almond.
And almond. But if you get a really good one, it's delicious. Whoa. If you get crappy ones, it's really crappy.
I think we had really good ones when we were in Sicily.
Yes, we did have a really good one.
I forget, it was like an almond town, and oh my God, they were delicious.
Panforte is a Christmas or this time of year from Siena, and it's an acquired thing. Here's the thing about all these Italian things. They look good, but they're not the French.
You have to. No, they're not like the buttery, delicious,
and chocolatey.
Ooh la la, oui, oui.
No,
they're like, it's an acquired taste.
There's the thing.
Like Bostrengo.
Yeah,
Bostrengo
is like a bad bread pudding. but the Central Italians, the dolce, the sweets are not very sugary. They're not. There are a lot of dried fruits and things like that, and nuts. But now, after being here 10 years, it's like, oh, when the panforte comes around, it's like, I'll take a piece.
Yeah,
I kind
of
like it.
Yeah.
Or the torrone. But the first couple of years, kind of like the chestnuts.
It took some time. But it took.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
And don't kid yourself. It is not France.
No,
In the pastry department. But I love it. Every time I leave, I got to say it again. Every time I leave this place, even for a short time, when I come back, I love it.
I know. I do too. It feels so good. And just the smell of the air and the fireplaces, the chimneys when you're driving through town. And it's like, yes. Home.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, if you know someone in your life who is thinking the way we do, that Italy is the place to be and would like to relocate and change their lives and come out here and start a business, boy, oh boy, have we got the thing for you.
April 1st through 5th, we are hosting a workshop on how to move to Italy and start a hospitality business.
Or just a business in general, a small business in general.
That just is our expertise in that side, but we are happy to just, I think it'll be informative. I think it will be inspirational, humorous, and a great way for people to not only ask all their questions, but get a really honest look at what life is and what how it is to move here, whether you even want to open a business or not.
There's no substitutes for putting your boots on the ground and then talking to people who really live here and can give you – there's only so much information you can get and so much accuracy you can get from doing research from –
Online.
Meet
the experts at La Tavola Market.
We're going to have friends and neighbors and our people we've met and our contacts throughout the years who will be here either on via Skype or sitting down to dinner next to you, and you can pepper them with all your questions.
Sharing their entrepreneurial journeys, if you will.
Anyway, it'll be well worth the effort put out, because I think this would be, this would have been great. We just sat down and said, what could we do if we were back when we were thinking of, if we went back to when we were thinking of moving here, if there was 4 days that we could, you know, with the money that we had, what could make that for those 4 days what could we get the most out of it? And I think this would have been great if we went back 10 years ago and took this. Something like this.
Well, we're super excited. I think it's the right time to do it and to share with people what we've learned. And we are really excited to help other people on their way to do something like this. It's cheesy. I'm a nerd. I know. It's April 1st through 5th. It's going to be here at La Tavola Marque. And
lots more details.
You have all the, go online, latavolamarque.com. And should I start wrapping this up?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're, what if they don't want to live here, but just would like to come out to Italy and see beautiful La Tavola Marque and meet the smiling faces behind the microphones.
Oh, well, you can find us at latavolamarche.com, LATAVOLAMARCHE. We have a beautiful 500-year-old farm inn and cooking school with 5 apartments, guest rooms, cooking classes, farmed fork table, beautiful swimming pool, and yes. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at La Tavola Marque. You can also find me at Ashley Bartner, and follow our Shenanigans and Whatnot videos on YouTube as well.
Yeah, don't forget No Half Measures.
No Half Measures is the other side of the films consulting, and that is nhmblog.com.
All right. Well, I would love to tell you that we will do one of these again before the before Christmas, but let's be honest. I want to wish everyone a very, very happy New Year. Buon Natale, auguri. Thank you so much for downloading our podcast and giving 2 craps about what we say. It means a lot to us. I can't believe we've done this for 10 years.
It's wild.
It's incredible. And there would be no point to it if it wasn't for you guys, your support and everything that you guys do to support us way out here, fulfilling a beautiful life in a beautiful country surrounded by wonderful people.
Oh, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
All right. From our little piece of paradise here at Cacamone in Piobico, Italia, thank you so much. Buon Natale, auguri.
Buon Natale.
And buon anno nuovo.
Ciao.
Ciao.